Why do these movies keep getting made? I swear to fucking God, if I see another Expendables... Oh, wait, they already announced an Expendables. God damn it. Okay, people, here we're talking about Expendables 3 and... Sylvester Stallone. When the fuck are you going to retire? But before we get into Sly Stone, let me go ahead and give somewhat of a plot, which is basically the same plot from the last goddamn film. Only thing about this plot is it's a villain that has actually met up with Sly Stallone in the past or whatever, and he thought he was dead. Other than that, it's the same damn thing. Whatever. We have a villain here played by, what's the man? Mel Gibson. He's called Stone Banks. And, you know, Barney Ross, Sly Stallone, the most non-talkative motherfucker you'll ever meet. He's got the team together, man. They doing this big project that they don't even know who they're working for or something like that. Then next, you know, shit gets out of control when they see Mel Gibson himself come back. And then Mel Gibson, instead of shooting Sly Stallone, he takes out Terry Crews' big ass, green ass, because obviously, you know, they had to save they only save room for one black man in this whole goddamn movie. It's pretty much the Walking Dead effect. There's only enough room for one black person on the whole damn team. So this is just pretty much a revenge film, but not even so much a revenge film. It's almost a revenge film that's trying to start a new franchise, but everybody knows that Stallone is too egotistical at this point to give up this franchise, so there's no way he's passing this down, even though he just kept stating in the movie how tired of this shit he was. And mind you, at the end of the action scenes, he's the only one that's still sweating and shit, so you can tell he really is getting tired of this shit. But I'm going to go ahead and go back into this film now. That's pretty much the goddamn plot right there. It's just pretty much Sylvester Stallone, after Terry Crews' character gets shot and shit, it's just pretty much a revenge flick. But instead, he retires the Jason Statham, Wesley Snipes, Randy Couture, and Dolph Lundgren character. He tells them, hey, yeah, you know, this ain't your fight no more. So then you're thinking, like, okay, well, maybe Stallone's hung it up. But no, he goes out to recruit newer people, which, mind you, To take on Mel Gibson, which baffled the fuck out of me, pretty much. He gets the help of Victor Ortiz, you know, the fighter himself, Ronda Rousey, another fighter, Kellen Lutz, and I forgot the other fucking guy's name, but it doesn't fucking matter. He recruits these guys, and in your whole mind, you're thinking, if Mel Gibson is as bad of a character as he says he is, why would he retire the team he's been working with for so damn long that he knows is better than anybody else, whatever. And plus, they're a team itself, so they know in and out, whatever. Why wouldn't he want the best of the best on it instead of just getting some rookies that are just egotistical? I didn't get that part at all. It was kind of baffling at times. I was just like, I don't get that at all. And then we get to the part, you know, obviously Mel Gibson, they think they have him, but he escapes. He captures the new blood they got going on here. And then we get to the action. Obviously, we get to this long, overdrawn, dramatic scene where Sylvester Stallone is leaving to go fight himself, fight these guys himself. And then next thing you know, the rest of the team shows up, and they're like, hey, man, you ain't going in this alone. We got your back on this. And he's like, well, yeah, you just get in the car, then let's fly away. It was like, okay. So then next you know, it's just one big-ass long 30-minute action scene. Let me go get ahead and let me get some positives out the way. I'll give a positive out the way. The only positive I can think of in this film is definitely Mel Gibson. You can definitely tell this guy is the best actor. And I'm not just talking about in this movie, but is the best actor out of all these guys in this film. This dude can deliver his fucking lines and was a badass villain. As far as something for this type of movie goes, he was a badass villain. Personally, I don't know what his fucking motivation was. I mean, he was telling some story in this car. Obviously, we find out when he is captured that he was an ex-Expendable member. And he pretty much just gets some, hey, you were too soft. I went on, and now look at me. I'm a boss now, shit like that. I didn't feel sympathetic for this guy or nothing like that. I just thought the way he delivered his lines were great. That's just because Mel Gibson is that good of an actor that he can do something like that. You, Sly Stallone, this motherfucker is getting worse every fucking film. I swear, you cannot understand a goddamn thing this dude says. The movie literally opens up with this big train action scene, and I swear to God, the first bit of dialogue is from Sly, and you don't know what the fuck he just said. I don't know if he said, you go say what, but I swear to God, it was just some gibberish where he was just like, and I was like, what did he just say? Jesus. Matter of fact, speaking of Sly, so everybody knows that Harrison Ford is in this movie. He pretty much replaces Bruce Willis' character, and they don't shy away from making fun of that either, whatever. I mean, even Sly Stallone says, God, you're not that hard to work with and shit like that. He was taking some cheap shots at Bruce Willis in this film, and even Harrison Ford was like, yeah, I replaced that other guy. I think his name was Bruce Willis' name. It was Snow or something like that in the previous Expendables films. I can't remember, but it doesn't fucking matter. And you know, he's on the phone with Sly, and they're on speakerphone. Jason Statham is talking in the background, and Harrison Ford has the audacity to say, I can't understand you saying whatever with that accent of yours. But yet he can understand Stallone's voice, which was complete and utter bullshit, because everybody knows damn well Statham speaks 20 times better than what the fuck. Even with that accent, he speaks 100 times better than how Stallone talk. Stallone, this movie was sad to me. As if the last two wasn't sad, because the last one definitely was just sad. I mean, seeing Stallone run, that had to be the most depressing thing I've ever seen in the theater. It was just like, dude, you can't even fucking run without limping now. And here, this dude is constantly sweating after every action scene. I mean, his face looks like it's drooping down. He looks like Droopy the dog and shit. It was embarrassing every time he was on camera, because I was like, oh, my God. This dude is the lead man of this movie, and he looks like shit. Oh, and that's not to say you got to have a pretty guy on scene all the time, but, man, this dude, I swear to God, there was a moment where he was sitting down. It looked like he had a fucking hole in his neck or whatever. He looked like one of them people from the damn cigarette commercial that got the little voice box and said, like, hello, my name is... But the breakdown, keep going down the characters here. Like I said, Harrison Ford, he replaces that Bruce Willis character. Arnold Schwarzenegger comes in as Trench again. And you know what? Arnold probably was second worst here, because once again, he just repeated what he did in Expendables 2. And he was just repeating his lines back from his previous 80s films. And even in here, he said it like three times. But the first two times, he tried to just say it like just... out of the blue cat. That shit didn't feel organic at all, first of all. It just came out of fucking nowhere. But he didn't say the whole full phrase. And that's only until the end of the film where they started running. He's like, we got to get to the chopper. And you kind of just like, oh, God, please stop saying that, dude. Please, just fucking stop. You're embarrassing yourself, too, by doing this, Schwarzenegger. Like, even Schwarzenegger, I love the guy. I mean, by all means, more power to him. But fuck, man. Just seeing him in here, it's something about this movie. It's just fucking sad, I guess. And I think one of the reasons why is because we're in this age now where we see so many great action films. I mean, The Raid 2 set the standards fucking high as hell. We see great action scenes in fucking superhero films like this. Whether you feel about Iron Man 3 or not, the action scenes at the end, the choreography and how they handled it was so fucking amazing. Me and Cody's brought up the Avengers many of times of how that action scene shot where Iron Man's flying around and he lands, the Captain America shoots at the shield and shit like that. Hell, Captain America Winter Soldier itself this year. What was another thing? Edge of Tomorrow. I mean, so many great action films we saw. And you see this, and man, you just like, what the fuck is the point of this? And maybe it's just me, but I was bored out of my fucking mind. And the reason why I was bored out of my fucking mind, and even though this is an action film, I was more bored with the action scenes than anything else in this fucking film. And the reason is because of that. And I was just like, it's just a bunch of guy with guns shooting at other random people or whatever. There's nothing interesting about it. There's no cool fight scenes or no. Nobody really gets to shine in their specialty of what they do. You got Jason Statham and Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes comes in as the new character as well. They got playing Doc. And he's supposed to be an extreme knife guy, just like Jason Statham, but you never once get to see these two do anything with knives that well. Jason Statham can probably beat the fuck out of half the people in here, and they give him a fight scene where you think, like, okay, well, this is going to be good. It is shot so amateurish. You can't see a damn thing that's going on. All you see is, because both of these men are wearing black, all you're seeing is just black shadows following around, like the darkness was climbing up its ass or something like that to go backwards on it. Every action scene in here was shot horrible. They even get the new girl they got in here. The MMA fighter, Ronda Rousey, plays Luna in here. She has, whenever she's fighting the bad guys here at the end and shit, she's constantly putting an arm. Well, the first time you see her, she's doing an arm bar, which was shot bad again, but you could see her at least landing and snap the arm back. I swear to God, she does that move two more times or something like that. It's almost as if they loop that fucking scene over and over again. Let me keep going down the characters here. Mel Gibson, like I said, best character in here probably, if anything. No, not even the best character, just the best actor of all. The way he delivered his lines was perfect. Wesley Snipes, he's cool at first. And the funny thing is, he had his fucked up Django haircut when they freed him, because he's in the opening scene, and this must have been just the only Wesley Snipes scene here, because after that, you don't really get to see his ass no more. They opened up the movie with him rescuing him from a train, and I don't know where he was going, but apparently he was in lockdown or something like that for so many years. I think it was 8 years. And they free him out, and next thing you know, he's talking crazy shit. I mean, the funny thing is, when they ask him when he gets locked up, and this is where I thought, like, okay, this probably is going to be a good movie, because this actually did make me smile a little bit. When they was like, so why were you locked up? Why were you in chains and shit like that? And he was like, tax evasion. A part of me did laugh right there. I was like, that's probably the best line in the whole fucking movie. Wesley Snipes did a good job delivering it. But 5 minutes later, you don't really see shit of him at all. Matter of fact, that whole character he portrayed at the beginning of the film, that shit gets dropped once Stallone gets this team back together. Matter of fact, that character ceases to exist the very next scene after they land that damn plane that they're flying around in. Which, by the way, where the fuck are they landing that big-ass plane where none of these enemies can see it? People, you know the plane I'm talking about, because you've seen it in the first two fucking Expendables films. That old-ass plane is still flying around. Why don't the villains just go and bomb their hideout and stuff like that? It's not even a hideout, because it's in a fucking airfield, if anything. Dolph Lundgren, he doesn't do a goddamn thing in the film. I mean, he probably has about two lines in the film. Randy Couture, well, he's pushed to the side again. Terry Crews, I mean, I don't know why people keep talking about Terry Crews as charismatic, because that big-ass nigga, I swear to God, every movie I'm seeing him in now, I'm just like, I don't think this guy can act, personally. I like the guy, but I've yet to see him in something where I was like, wow, that guy's amazing or something like that. I can see charisma on him, but he's just not taking the projects to show it. And here, that little scene he was in, he's pretty much doing the same goddamn thing you've seen him in. He just picks up a big-ass gun, opens his mouth up, and shoot it. I don't know. It's something about this guy and opening up his fucking mouth. It's like he's just waiting for a flock of seagulls to shit in his mouth or something. But after he gets shot, he's pretty much out of the movie. Kelsey Grammer comes in as Bonaparte, and he's pretty much just helping Stallone pick the new team out, which, once again, Kelsey Grammer, another guy in here, served no purpose. I mean, wow, talk about a shit release for you, man. You work your way from Transformers Age of Extinction to Expendables 3. You need to think about your career when you make a jump from Transformers Age of Extinction to fucking Expendables 3. Glenn Powell, Victor Ortiz, Ronda Rousey, Kellen Lutz. Personally, they were just younger guys that came in, and I remember the first thing that went through my head when I saw them. I said, oh, shit. And then Statham summed it up perfectly. He was just like, it's like watching a father mold some children in the ground. I was just like, holy shit, are they going to start a new franchise with these new kids? Because they were horrible. I mean, seriously, the dialogue, man. Everybody's dialogue in here was just, well, the way it was delivering it, and what it was, too, it was fucking atrocious. And I know it's trying to go back on that 80s nostalgia, but don't nobody want to see that shit? especially a PG-13 movie. But then again, it was PG-13, but I don't think they really shied away from the blood so much. I mean, if anything, how it shied away from the blood is by just having it explode on the screen like it did in Expendables 2. In Expendables 2, there was constant blood just floating on the screen, and it looked so fucking fake that it kind of took you out of the movie. Here, you just see blood pretty much marked on their face or anything. Anytime they shoot someone, you don't even really see blood splatter, but I don't even know if people even give a fuck about that at this point. I mean, Stallone, he really needs to take himself out of this leading man territory. You need to be behind the camera way back because, dude, you are just horrible now at this point. You got to be definitely one of the top five worst actors working in Hollywood right now. I definitely want to get into this guy, which was Antonio Banderas. I hear a lot of people saying how great he was in the film. And I'm here to say Antonio Banderas, he started off awesome. But he kept doing with that shit, and he shrugged that shit out for a whole fucking, I want to say 45 minutes. I mean, he's playing this character. He's pretty much playing Puss in Boots. I mean, but he's playing a character where he's faking his name and stuff like that because he wants to join a team because his team pretty much left him. Well, not even so much left. They all were murdered from the story he tells us. And he's just trying to join up any team because he lives to kill and stuff like that. But he's playing a character that just won't shut the fuck up. He will never shut the fuck up. And it's funny at first, but then 30 minutes pass by and you're just like, oh my God, he's still fucking talking. He's like a fucking kid with ADHD or something like that. He just fucking will not shut up. I swear to fucking God. Jet Li comes back at the end, and we find out he works for Arnold Schwarzenegger's character. And I ain't gonna lie, I got kind of lost here, but I'm thinking that they were trying to make it seem that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jet Li's character were gay in this movie. I could be wrong completely, but Stallone tried to make a joke about him, and then they started hugging or something like that and smiling at each other. I was like, dude, Stallone, your writing is so fucking bad that I don't even know what you're trying to do right here, personally. I mean, who the fuck are these movies for anymore? I mean, once again, it's the same fucking premise. We just got a bunch of guys with guns going into a complex, shooting a bunch of, which look like little Asian terrorists, which I don't know why they would be Asian in the first fucking place. Why would Mel Gibson be owning them? It doesn't make any, like, where the fuck are they getting these armies and military guys from and stuff like that? This action scene at the end almost dragged out as long as fucking Man of Steel did. And I don't think it did any goddamn justice to any of these fucking people. I mean, in the middle of the scene out of nowhere, a character literally finds a fucking motorcycle. And one of the younger characters, and this is supposed to be his stick. Like, he's good on motorcycles. And he's just riding around the motorcycle. And he's not doing a goddamn thing, just riding around on it. And he's just looking like, what was the point of that? The action scenes, I cannot digest on how fucking boring they were. And that's a sad feat right there because this is an action film, and yet the action in here was fucking god-awful. I mean, Stallone, you definitely can go to hell for what you compared this movie to and saying that you can make that film. I mean, the most likable character as an actor and even the character himself was definitely no doubt Mel Gibson. But, well, even Wesley Snipes for the little time he was in. But I have to fucking say, that wasn't enough. It really wasn't fucking enough because I felt like my time was wasted, to be honest. I was getting a little annoyed or whatever because the whole shtick that if is we got all these action stars in here or whatever and look how old they are now or whatever. Well, it's like if you take that out and put in this newer talent that did come in, you just got some generic. You know what? It's not even generic. Just some horrible-looking action film, man. So you take out these guys, and what's the whole stick here? The whole plan of why Stallone got rid of his old teammates in the first fucking place, so they're pretty much gone for halfway through the middle way of the film. You're just sitting there like, well, I don't even know why he did that in the first fucking place. He's trying to say, oh, like, because, you know, the going up against this guy, they'll die or whatever and stuff like that. I mean, nobody will come back alive. But it's like, then why you get these rookies in? Well, rookies that never worked together or never did any kind of mission like this at all, or whatever. Why the fuck? Matter of fact, she's a fucking bouncer at that. So what the fuck made her so special to join a special ops goddamn team? I really didn't catch that part. I was just like, wait a minute, she's a bouncer. And we're talking about Ronda Rousey. She's a bouncer at a club, which granted kicks some ass, but there was I didn't get one part of her. It was like, what makes her qualified to join a special ops team to take out one of the baddest men you've ever met, Stallone? You got to trust your judgment here. And then, I swear to fucking God, man, Stallone, man, you almost like the white version of fucking Tyler Perry. You just see yourself as the leading man so much that for some reason, you in all three of these fucking movies, you got to keep crowbarring a woman in here, which you did with Ronda Rousey. You crowbar her in here, and then what does she do like every other woman in this franchise? She has to congratulate you and give you a hug and a little kiss on the cheek, and you just sit there smiling like, yeah, you got it, you know. It's like, no, you don't. Stop forcing these fucking women, these hot-ass women. Even Ronda would say, well, beat the shit out of you. She's still hot. Stop forcing these women to fucking kiss on you because they don't want you, man. They easily don't fucking want you. Come on. Personally, to me, like I said, there's moments here and there, like you have the Antonio Banderas. They just drag that shit out. The Wesley Snipes, I think they probably could have kept playing on that part, whatever, but they really just let him go. I mean, he's there for the first 10 minutes of the film, then he's pretty much just in the background like Randy Couture and the rest of them. So with Mel Gibson being the only consistent thing in this film, whatever, that I actually enjoyed, yeah, you know, it's once again, still wasn't a fucking enough. So, you know, I don't even know why I'm beating around it, but this is a fuck it. I would not go back to watch this film. I wouldn't even tell nobody to go watch this fucking film. I'm just like, really, there's nothing here. You know what? The action scenes of fucking Ninja Turtle look better than this shit. That's a goddamn shame now. One other thing I got to say, too. Stallone, you can go to hell because to compare this piece of shit to The Raid has got to be an insult on your saggy-ass fucking face right there. I just recently rewatched both Raid's films back-to-back. And then went to go see this film. And to see this shit after seeing those two great action films, I was like, somebody needs to slap the fucking Botox out of his fucking face. You ignorant. Fuck you.